President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 10th on the West Coast, now November the 11th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and I should take this opportunity for those of you who are still up and partying, happy birthday, U.S. Marines. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know I visit with you every Monday afternoon with my good friend, former U.S. Marine, Drew Malone Raines III. And I threw out a birthday wish on Monday, not knowing if I was going to remember it again. And I can't remember if I mentioned it last night, so if I didn't, I apologize. But I'm extending, again, a very happy birthday, 235th, to the U.S. Marines. Before we bring on tonight's guest, I want to take us back about 7 months ago, or a little bit more than 7 months ago, and play a clip that occurred during a hearing where there was talk of sending 8,000 U.S. Marines, and according to what came out in the congressional hearing, their dependents as well, and that was estimated to be something around 25,000 people. And I'm going to play a clip of Representative Hank Johnson. This is very important that you listen to this. These are the people making decisions in our government that affect us and the rest of the world. Really listen to this man's demeanor. Listen to what he's saying and see if you can make heads or tails out of it. And then consider the smirking that's going on in the background, because what this representative, who's a Democrat from Georgia, had to say was so off the wall that I don't think anyone could really sit there and not just totally crack up. He's addressing Admiral Robert Willard, who is the commander of the Navy's Pacific Fleet. And I'm going to play this clip for you because it's going to have everything to do with the rest of what we're going to talk about on the show tonight. Here we are.
Now, this is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore? And at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things. And I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it. And so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint whether or not Guam is the best place to do this relocation, but it's actually the only place. Is that correct?
This is the best place. This is the farthest west U.S. territory that we own. And, you know, this is part of our nation. And in readdressing the forward presence and posture importance to Pacific Command, Guam is vital to this decision.
And there we have, I wish I could say former, but we have the present Representative Hank Johnson, Democrat from Guam, telling a U.S. Navy commander of the Pacific Fleet that he's afraid that the island of Guam, with the addition of potentially 25,000 more people, that would actually bring the total population of Guam up to about 200,000, including all the civilians, that it would tip over and capsize. And we're going to comment on that in a moment. I want to bring on tonight's guest, who has been waiting patiently in the wings. He is a polymer chemist. He's written some wonderful papers that I encourage you to read on my website, directlightproductions.com. Go over to documents and just look up tonight's guest. He has also, for many years, been a chemtrail opposition researcher, and his name is Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don, and good evening, good morning, and the rest. And did you say that man is still current?
Well, I said I wish I could say, oh, yeah, yeah, I wish I could say
my former. Goodness, what are those people thinking?
These are the people who are signing papers and passing laws and making decisions that affect everyone's lives. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, you know, I wonder why he didn't ask the commander there, what was the capacity of that island for tipping, you know, like boats? They should have had that information available for that man.
Yeah, the island is actually 207 square miles. Okay, so
based mathematics, somebody did say something about crack. So well, I just
started with 7 miles long. Then we started with 12 miles long, 7 miles wide, then 24 miles long, 7 miles wide at the smallest level. Do you measure the width of an island by level? and the widest or the largest level, 12 miles. He said. I mean, what is this guy on? What was he on?
I agree. that is a very, very good question. And somebody did make a comment about crack.
So I think I did.
Okay.
We've played this on the show a few times over the past few months. And I think it's a reminder to folks who've heard it as much as it is a courtesy to those listening to the show the first time. Even some of the jackbooted thugs are tuning in the first time.
Well, it shows you how short our memories are of what we otherwise would consider being significant individuals. You know, I just cannot. I told you this before. I just can't muster anything in me to call them elected nor officials anymore. I don't care who they are or where they're from. I just cannot do that anymore because I know too much about what their play, what their game plays are. Did you hear him make the comment about less like global warming? And I'm thinking, well, you know, the more you think about it, the hotter it'll get. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in any event, I want to take us into an area of your experience and your expertise in light of new information that's coming out. We seem to be experiencing a ramped up chemtrailing of the skies. and with it, a lot of very aberrant weather. I'm sure you've noticed that in your area, and you talk to people all over the world. What are you hearing from people? We're talking about the last few weeks, let's say 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Well, across the central United States, there seems to be much more of what I call severe clear. And I've got commentary on that as well. It's not clear, but it is severe because they've changed their chemistry, and that's been supported by monitor analysis that's been taken from a couple different locations across the United States. One of them that I seem to be paying particular attention to is the ones in Arizona. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's anybody. There's no Skywatch Ohio. And aside from that, they don't really salt and pepper Ohio in certain areas because there's corporations and Wright-Patterson Air Force Base here. So they, in fact, kind of diminish the types of chemtrails that they do. But the ones that have been the most significant has been this acceleration of monitor analyses in manganese, fluoride, gallium, and arsenic. Now, that won't mean a lot to a lot of people, but just looking at the combinations of possibilities, if you're, let's just say, gifted a little bit to know what the toxicity of some of these things are. And I was on Dr. Ott's show this past week, and I spoke of the same thing. It seems to me, unless somebody can prove otherwise, they've got a blue crystalline. It's an ultramarine violet blue crystal material that is obviously somewhat of a manganese base. And yes, we've connected that with literature and technologies, and in fact, with patented information that talks about aerosolized manganese. They don't necessarily call it a pigmentation, but what it's doing is, in fact, Dr. Ott feels that it, in fact, is blocking UV. Maybe so. But there's such a multiplicity of things that they do with these when they dispense them in the air. They've literally cut the barium and the aluminum either in half or out. I think it's because it was so noticeable. It was just so the information was just really ramparting back and forth across the globe about barium and aluminum and barium and aluminum. You couldn't really talk about anything else. Well, they've stopped that. They've, in fact, give us operations that give us very clear blue sky days. I contend those are not clear skies. They may be blue, but they're an artificial blue. And there are literature respects to information that talks about pigmentation, if you will, but it's a chemical compound. But they, in fact, are crystalline. They're clear. And when you see them in the sky, when you look into the clear blue sky, what you're seeing is somewhat of a reverse Tyndall effect. You know, you have the whiting from the chemtrails, and you get this glinting and this reflection from the pigment of sunlight. You don't get that with this particular component. These compounds, in fact, refract the light and works just like a fiber optic. It's called coherent phase fiber optic. It literally, you can take a coherent fiber optic piece and set it on a piece of paper that's got a number on it, and you can literally see the number at the top of the fiber optic. So it transmits the whatever it is, whether it's dark print or light print, whatever it is, even color, can be transmitted all the way up to the top of that. So what you're looking at is that page, just a little bit darker than it would be on the page because it does absorb some light being in the shadow of the solid object. We're seeing this come down at us. We're seeing the light from the back, the background shadowing from the sky itself. Well, the sky, in fact, they're still putting the chemtrails interspersed in between all of these things along as well as above it. So what you're seeing is this falling through the sky, it will have the same effect as cloaking. This cloaks the chemtrails in the sky, plus you're getting a dose of manganese. I've identified them as closely associative as I can to what I've read through in the literature as being a dibromide and a fluoride of some sort that's attached to an organic such as benzene. No, not a benzoate, but to a benzene. So looking at it in that context, we know that that has some super drying effects because of the dibromide, but it also, in fact, has the effect of when manganese goes to a certain saturation point in any living organism, including human beings, it does all kinds of things, and I'll just fast forward my statement on it. It can literally, according to Dr. Mark Purdey from 2001, he in fact contended that it in fact is a base cause of something called CJD. But it's in fact the same as Alzheimer's, but in fact elk wasting disease, mad cow disease. I mean, he attaches all these things because it is something that occurs in the brain, and it's causative by the enzymatic imbalance that it does with protein, and it folds them incorrectly, and in fact causes this thing that we literally do not understand. So it's got more than one functionality, or they wouldn't have picked manganese to do that. Of course, you know, manganese is very essential to all biological things that happen anyways. So now, conversely, in the north, let's just take the sphere of the earth, go north, and you'll find that they're still, in fact, laying lots of chemtrails that I understand from overseas, France and those types of things. I've got horrendous, horrendous thunderstorms and deluges of water. And now in the Caribbean and the let's just say as it goes up to the North Atlantic, again, they still got these hurricanes down there. Still spinning out and around and going out into the northern Pacific basin, if you will. Over in the Philippines, I really don't know. They go through a typhoon every once in a while, but again, they try to go on the seasonal thing. Interesting that you say Guam, because they're having one heck of a rock and rolling time over there with earthquakes. Guam is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was curious. Did they ever send those troops over there, the Navy? Did they ever send those?
They could have. In fact, they could have been involved in this trip that the bow-legged Mac Daddy's making, you know, to the Southeast Pacific area.
What a waste.
Well, I didn't want to go into this much detail, but you're making some good points here, at least yet, okay? I want to stress something now. There's a film that came out very recently. It's called What in the World Are They Spraying? And it's produced, co-produced by G. Edward Griffin, who's been on this show, and I consider Ed a good friend. He's been on Evident Footprints a few times. And Michael Murphy, Michael J. Murphy, and there are some other people involved in putting the production together. And it features a symposium in Belgium that occurred earlier this year. And there's an interview portion that I'm going to play. Now, there are two clips. This is actually a seven-part piece that I have here. It is available on DVD, and people can get it and copy it and send it around to other people. The thing is to spread the word. So I figured I would play part of this on the show. I'm skipping over quite a bit of it, but we're going to listen to about 15, 16 minutes or so of some conversation in regard to letting our public officials, I use that term, right, congressmen and senators in Washington were approached by Mr. Murphy and one of his assistants, and they're trying to get a handle on what the Congress's awareness and the Senate's awareness is of chemtrails. So we're going to listen to this, and if you wonder why nothing's being done about chemtrails, I think this piece will give you some idea of who doesn't intend for us to know what's going on. And here we go.
We took the data to Washington, D.C. There we presented our elected officials with the following letter.
According to the fifth article of the Bill of Rights, amending the Constitution for the United States of America, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. But the daily spraying is depriving all persons living within the United States of life, health, liberty, and integrity of our common and private property without due process of law. As a representative of the people of the United States of America, we insist that you do everything in your power to protect us and immediately put a stop to geoengineering spraying at once. There exists no justification, legal or otherwise, to poison the planet and its inhabitants.
Now, suppose that space aliens arrived on, maybe they're going to land at the UN headquarters down the road here, or maybe they'll pick a smarter spot. But suppose they arrive and they give you a bomb. Suppose they arrive and they give you a box, and the box has two knobs. One knob is the knob for controlling global temperature, maybe another knob is a knob for controlling CO2 concentrations. You might imagine that we would fight wars over that box, because we have no way to agree about where to set the knobs. No global governance, and different people will have different places they want it set. Solar engineering is like chemotherapy. No one wants it. But we all want the ability to do chemo and to understand its risks should we find ourselves with dangerous cancer.
How long does it last up there?
The lifetimes are years.
What, years?
A couple of years.
And then it what, precipitates out? Or?
Yeah, that's correct.
No toxic side effects? We know of.
The thing we always wonder about is the unknown unknown.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about, say, the acidification, it's clear that's not a problem. There's several studies that showed that.
Right.
But of course, the concern here is with so little research, there may be some unknown unknown that comes out of that field that bites us.
My name's Mike Murphy. I'm a filmmaker in from Los Angeles. We're covering an issue called geoengineering.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Senator, quick question about the issue of geoengineering.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
And wondering if you were supportive of geoengineers' proposals of spraying 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum into the atmosphere.
I should really get a briefing paper on it before I give an opinion.
Oh, not a problem. Are you aware of the issue?
Not completely.
At all? Okay. Do you have a letter from constituents, and people have concerns?
Yeah, what's the...
We're making a documentary about the
I don't know. You guys have credentials to be here?
Yes, we do. We pass through
endowed
security as well.
Endowed by our creator.
I think so.
Please don't touch my property.
You're lying.
No, it's lying. What did we lie about, sir?
No, we're not.
Sorry. What are we lying about?
Lying about
this is a little unusual, huh?
I haven't heard that.
You're not aware of it? And it appears that these programs have already been deployed.
You know, I haven't looked at that proposal, and so, you know, why don't you let me review it?
I can do that. Are you aware of...
Actually, I'm going to go...
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and get that. I will take a look at this, and I will act accordingly.
General... This program, this openly covert program of the aerosol spraying, stratospheric aerosol spraying, geoengineering, using tons of aluminum, spraying it up in the sky. Okay.
Commonly called chemtrail surfing.
When you were the head of NEMA, did you see the aerosol trails?
Hi, sir. And we're covering an issue called geoengineering, and wanted to know if you're supportive of geoengineers' proposals. Congressman?
Hey, Congressman.
I'm wondering if you're supportive of geoengineers' proposals, which is dumping 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum into the atmosphere. Pardon?
Okay.
I'm not supportive. I haven't looked at it.
Have you heard of the issue? Because it's becoming mainstream and public, and there are actually congressional committees which are being formed to talk about these programs.
Yeah. Well, I think when we drop anything into the atmosphere, we should know prior to
the effect of that, right?
Yes.
And if we don't have the knowledge as to what the effect will be, we shouldn't do it.
I think there are four different options for thinking about deployment of geoengineering. The first one would be we just ban it.
I would argue that one does not want to get too firm a restriction in place on small-scale studies early on because it'll tie the science hands. I think what the science community ought to be trying to do is say, you do small-scale stuff inside this space, and it's a scientific question what that space ought to be. There shouldn't be a lot of oversight and restriction.
Congressman? Excuse me. Hi, I'm Mike Murphy from Los Angeles, covering an issue called geoengineering. These guys are running from the geoengineering issue. I wonder why.
I'd have to talk to my staff. I don't know what your details on that are.
Has anyone made you aware of the issue? Or? Sir?
Congressman, your committee talked about geoengineering last November. Are you in support of those proposals?
I'd love to give you a paper.
Geoengineering? You know nothing about the geoengineering issue?
Never heard of it.
They call it geoengineering, but...
Yeah, I never heard of it. It's nothing I've ever heard anything about.
When we looked up in the air today outside, we see the stuff going on.
Quickly, have you heard of geoengineering?
No.
The proposal is to shoot 10 million tons of metals into the air. This committee, Science and Technology, covered it for the first time. No.
No, never heard of it.
So we were very concerned.
All right, how are you doing? I'm fine. How are you doing?
We spoke with Congresswoman Watson's office, and her press secretary, Ms. White, was familiar with Representative Kucinich's Space Preservation Act, which mentioned chemtrails and the weaponization of the atmosphere in space, and then it was pressured to be taken off of the bill.
Did you see the aerosol spraying going on today over the Capitol?
Congressman?
Geoengineering carries with it a tremendous range of uncertainties, ethical and political concerns, and the potential for catastrophic environmental side effects.
He's not one to do interviews very often, not since we usually really pressure him into it.
Okay.
So don't, all that is, don't hold your breath.
As chairman of the Committee of Jurisdiction, I feel a responsibility to begin a public dialogue and develop a record on geoengineering.
We want to know if you're supportive of their measures by spraying 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum into the atmosphere.
No, I don't think we have that. We need to have more research.
Okay. And about the issue of current deployment, there's literally a mountain of evidence that many people believe proves the deployment of these programs. Any knowledge of that?
No, there's certainly not a mountain of evidence. But I do support research into the into geoengineering. And I also support looking into the international governance of that.
Okay.
I hope anybody that has studied it knows that I think that it's a radical proposal, and I hope we don't have to use it, but there may come that point in time where we do.
Now, if we could provide you with the evidence that suggests that these programs are and have been ongoing, would you be willing to address this publicly?
We've had about three or four hearings on it. We have addressed it publicly.
Well, not about the proposals, but about the current deployment of these programs.
I don't support the current deployment. I think we need to have more research, and if they have consequences that go beyond one nation, and so I think there needs to be governance for that.
Governance is not simply an issue of deployment, but governance before deployment in terms particularly of large-scale scientific fieldwork.
I concede that on this subject and in general, it's not popular to talk about global rules.
And when these people started talking about the need for UN Security Council oversight, a supranational environmental security enforcement with a strong mandate by the UN, it really is clear that they're looking for a global power behind the manipulation of the environment.
But I do think it needs to be sort of an international kind of treaty that does tie and bind all nations into a common fate. It is a common fate.
And unfortunately, it's not just big governments that could do this. It is small governments. It is billionaires probably could figure, I'm going to save the world all by myself, and I won't bother to mention it.
How do we decide when there's a planetary emergency? Whose hand is on the thermostat? How do we decide
when to start it. There's no way to do that right now. And what if we do start doing it, and then by some problem with the technology or with the will, we can no longer do it. In a year or two, the aerosols will come out of the atmosphere and temperatures will shoot up at a rate much faster than it's going up now. And it's that rate of change that's hard for us to adapt to. So once we start it, we'll be sort of locked into doing it for a long, long time. And so that, and with basically no end in sight.
Boeing would pursue this to make a profit, right? I mean, the financial motivation to do this.
Let's see. So let me not speak for Boeing.
Is that allowed? Okay.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
No, but it's someday, if the U.S. is going to decide to do this stuff, they're going to look to a company who can do it, and you want to be positioned. Boeing would rather be get it than Lockheed Martin.
So certainly we have an industrial base that helps the country take on technologies and large-scale challenges like national defense. And we do that both for a profit motive as well as, I think, as a national service. So
I think it would be truly disastrous if, you know, we discovered a few years from now that there was a black program that some government had stood up to sort of learn on the quiet how to do this.
It's pretty clear you can cool the planet, but you will not and cannot bring it back to exactly the same climate state you started with. So you may or may not, and I expect we'll have a lot of back and forth about how useful it is to ameliorate the risks of climate change. I think there's a good evidence it probably is useful, but we don't know. But it certainly can't get you back to exactly the climate you started with. I think everybody agrees with that.
Do you think you'll see deployment in our lifetime?
Let me say I hope not.
Al?
I would agree. I hope not.
I hope not.
Preach. Okay.
I see this as something like an evacuation plan. You know, that you build big dikes. Maybe that's the emissions reduction to try to keep the flood from wiping you out. But that if you should that flood should come, that you'd like a plan for what to do in the event of that catastrophe. So I see these options more as a catastrophic response option and not as a way to reduce risk of everyday climate change.
You would advocate mitigating consumption of beef as a means of accomplishing your objective?
Yes.
How would you suggest going about that?
You can't. I mean, it's your job to decide what to tax and what not to tax. Obviously, if you wanted people to behave differently, you give them incentives and disincentives for behavior. But
I'm sure that's the answer you want to hear, Mr. Smith.
If only my time had not expired. Thank you, Mr. Truman.
Because there's literally aluminum and bearing contamination found around the world, believed to be from these programs.
Like, look, today over the Capitol, looks like they're deploying some type of aerosol. Did you see it?
In a James Bond scenario, some rogue rich guy puts some airplanes in the air and sees the clouds. What is to prevent that?
Okay, are you aware of the issue? You do it through the...
Are you in support of those proposals? What is your take?
I don't know anything about it. I've got a chair here.
Man. Okay, we'll give you a letter on this.
Yeah, this is a letter from constituents.
Okay, great.
Excellent. And many people believe that these programs have already been deployed because mass contamination has been found. Geoengineering programs, stratospheric.
Got it.
Yeah. Spraying from airplanes. So what is happening, people from around the world are finding contamination.
Let me take care of this and I'll talk to you when I come back. I'll be back.
Thank you very much.
We see that even though we might make the average temperature of the planet about right, the rainfall patterns change some from today. And some places become warmer and some places become cooler. So there are going to be winners and losers in this geoengineering activity if we were to do it. But nevertheless, as David has said, there are reasons why we might consider doing it.
Many people are deeply concerned about it because of the toxicity of aluminum, and it has been addressed to Congress in various committees. Would you take a look at a letter from some of your constituents addressing the concerns? Okay. Can I give you a letter from constituents? Are you aware of their proposals of dumping? Gotcha. Thanks.
Well, I'm not familiar with it, so I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, geoengineers are proposing just that, dumping aluminum and barium into the atmosphere.
Why would they do that? Aluminum's a precious metal we can use.
Well, the stated goal is to actually cool the planet. However, there's a...
Sounds strange.
Right. Exactly. So they're proposing dumping these metals into the air to block the sun, essentially. We're here just to find out what members of Congress are...
I hope we would have a strong hearing on that before we decide to do that.
I would hope so. And there's plenty of evidence that not only suggests that these programs have been deployed, because we're finding contamination of aluminum and barium on the rains, snow, and soil.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
LA County has seen 200% increase of Alzheimer's over the last decade. Tons of ground and water samples showing high levels of aluminum all around our state.
Why don't you give me all the information you have? I have some very good people I will assign it to. And if you get it to Mr. Lavelle,
okay. He's got my card and send me an email. And
well, that's all we're going to listen to of this clip. This is from What in the World Are They Spraying? Now, before I ask for your comments, Dr. Mike, I want to make a few. All of these congressmen and senators said they didn't know what this was about. Now, we know there's much more to what's going on in chemtrails and what is in chemtrails, and all I hear throughout this movie is aluminum and barium.
Right.
That's all. And it's quite obvious that the questions are being which are being asked are only related to geoengineering or weather modification. The claim that they're not spraying chemtrails, and then telling us that the chemtrails at the same time we have this dialectical insanity. They're at the same time they're telling us they're not spraying the chemtrails, but the chemtrails are being used to reflect harmful rays from the sun back into the atmosphere without any consequence of what that what consequences that might have. Let's say you reflect those rays back at the sun. What happens then to the sun? And what is this, how does the sun react? I mean, this is insanity. The movie is intentionally promoting geoengineering, and all I can think of is cap and trade. This is setting up everybody to accept cap and trade, because there's so much information coming out about chemtrails. But I want to also make a comment, and this is with great authority that I do this. And I sent this to Ed Griffin also. The toxic amounts of aluminum, and there is a scientist that worked with the FDA or the USDA, I don't recall his name, but he's an expert in gardening. And he lives in California, and his garden is dead. It's dead. It's been chemtrailed, and the plants are dead. And we know that roots are being affected, and eventually the bark falls off of trees. Plants fail to produce fruits or vegetables, or they're producing some modified type of fruit or vegetable because they're unable to cope with the toxic amounts of the following elements: aluminum or aluminium for our English speaking foreign listening audience. Aluminum, barium, boron, cadmium, chromium, copper, iron, lithium, magnesium, manganese, which you mentioned, Dr. Mike, nickel, potassium, sodium, zinc. These are toxic amounts. There are many other compounds being analyzed within there. Human blood, red blood cells, human white blood cells, Serratia, Marsacens, bacteria, Streptomyces, and Pseudomonas aeruginosa bacteria, three different strains of bacteria, and I should stress that Streptomyces actually can be broken down into some 550 different bacteria. what are those things doing in chemtrails? Okay, now we keep hearing aluminum and barium, and I would also submit to you that the blue effect that these are leaving in the sky above probably comes from barium. Under spectrography, barium gives off a blue haze, or a blue hue, if you want to call it that. So that could be what is causing the blue. Any comments you want to make on what you heard? I mean, these are the people that are making the decisions?
First of all, you know, I never heard the U.S. Air Force, and believe me, they are intrinsically entrenched into this whole thing, and they have consistently called it a hoax. Consistently, no matter who, in fact, says this is what they're doing, and they, in fact, jump on it. I mean, I've written letters to Kucinich, personal letters to Kucinich. I'll go into that in detail some other time, but he will not respond. He's got people who surround him as aides that, in fact, just will not let him comment on the death now of H.R. 2799, I think the bill was. And he mentioned he put chemtrails in there. We thought that was a happy day. But he did memorialize it. But it was chemtrails and other exotic and other psychotronic weapons. That's, in fact, what was in that space preservation bill that Kucinich wanted to ban because they were going to be space-based. Well, none of that happened. They didn't. They just, in fact, completely cut out all that stuff and represented the bill, and I understand it did not pass. Well, duh. I mean, we got space-based. We got so many space-based weapons right now. They don't need ground-based weapons for anything, believe me. So, anyways, at Kucinich, right here locally in the 12th District, Congressman Pat Teaberry, a Republican, he will not respond to any of my mails, emails, or otherwise. Neither will the head of the Republican Party here in Ohio, which is Kevin DeWine. He will not respond to anything, nor the Franklin County Sheriff's Department, nor Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat, Ohio, will not respond to anything about chemtrails, nor will Voinovich. We can name just about anybody. I sent a personal letter in 2008, along with a copy of the Unified Preservation Act of 2008. The Unified Preservation Act, in fact, would stop chemtrails, and my copy of The Methodic Demise of Natural Earth to Bart Gordon at the Committee on Science, the House Representatives Committee on Science and Technology, to him personally. He never received it. Well, gee, boy, isn't that? I have sent this stuff out to so many people. But not one time was there ever a response on it, because it seemed like there was somebody with the U.S. Air Force or the Navy that would intercept whatever we were doing to try to bring this up and bring it to someone's attention. And in fact, they would completely kill it. So anyways, I don't buy that in a moment, that they weren't aware of this, because there have been just literally millions of people that have written to their state and to the federal government, to the U.S. EPA, to the federal EPA, to their local EPA, the regional EPA, to the Department of Natural Resources. Not one of them, Don, not one of them will make a legitimate response of something that is deeply concerning a whole lot of people coming from a whole lot of places. And most of it is, in fact, because of medical conditions and syndromes that have came as a direct result of this blatant contamination of everything, including the breathable air column, which, in fact, it's got to stop. But, and did you notice that, and see, I've never really looked at Mr. Murphy's video or DVD. I've not. I've got a problem with Michael Murphy, because before he went to Belgium, I, in fact, tried to contact him, and I did by the internet, email, and get him to consider taking something over with him to protest, do something besides protest. In fact, declare that you want this to stop. Not one time did I ever hear that there was going to be any type of mitigation or any type of proposal made to stop this insanity, this chemical and biological and electronic insanity through HARP. Not one time. I was in contact with a gentleman by the name of Mario, who was anti-geoengineering out in San Diego. Mario told me the story. He even tried to get Michael Murphy to do the same thing. Just carry a copy of this and present it sometime to these people in Belgium. Look, let's protect the atmosphere. Let's stop this industrialized hyper toxicity of our breathing air. At least that. Would not even consider taking any kind of documentation that would stop this. I got a real problem with you, Mr. Murphy, and is it begrudged? Yeah, because you had your chance to make a proclamation to stop this, and you, in fact, all you want to do is peddle your DVDs and expose this, expose this, expose this. Well, I hope you make a bunch of money, but when are you going to get to the point of stopping it?
Well, that's a good point. I have to tell you, one can commend him for what he did, but
I do. I certainly do.
When you look at where the meeting was held, why was it held in Belgium? Well, that happens to be the location of SHAPE, Supreme Headquarters, Allied Powers Europe, and that says a lot right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a coincidence. All right.
There's no such thing as coincidence.
They say that the gold that was stolen out of the basement of the World Trade Center on 9/11 belonged to Belgium. I recall hearing that and seeing that in my research. So and there were some Belgian pilots being trained in Arizona. You mentioned Arizona before.
Mm-hmm.
What were they training them for? Why do they need to come here to be trained to fly? Was it to learn the ins and outs of spraying chemtrails across Europe? Because they have the same problem there. In fact, all the NATO countries are being sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
But chemtrails are being found throughout the planet. It's not just in one particular area.
That's correct.
They're found over the oceans. They're found over uninhabited land masses. And there are plenty of pictures on this. So,
right.
Both still and moving pictures.
And to interject also about Belgium, that's where they've got that one of the first huge supercomputers. That's where it's at. That's the computer that, in fact, that NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, sends their data, which is sent to that computer over there. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the weather you're going to get for the next month. And they change it arbitrarily, just whenever they want to change it. First, it'll be a period of dryness or whatever, or just normal weather. There's no such thing as normal weather anymore. And then radically it will change into a drought cycle, or it'll change into it's going to be wet and perfect influenza weather. Hey, get damn shots, the word out. But this computer, in fact, It buys all the chemicals, it makes the purchases, which I still contend many of them come to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, via a tube from China. One of these really super fast glass-walled tubes with this ferry that and shoots over, and it doesn't take very long. This is how they're moving all these chemicals without anybody seeing them. And there's a lot of activity. We've got corporations right here in this particular community that I live in. It's a very big one. They've got an entire subsidiary of spray aircraft located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and they've been photographed and videotaped not only spraying but taking off and spraying different types of things that look like webs. I mean, these ticked lines. Yeah, those things that have been associative. Well, how did you get erythrocytes in human blood cells, white red blood cells, white blood? How did you get all these fungal Pseudomonas aeruginosa? How did you get that in a web? How did you get bug parts in a web? Okay, that particular corporation is in fact at the top of the shelf when it comes to gathering bacterial life forms from across this planet.
Yeah. Now I want to skim through a couple of things too, Dr. Mike, here.
I know. I jumped on you there, but that's, I had to get that out.
Prior to this list that I read off, this is what they're currently spraying, okay? And it's in toxic amounts. They allude in this film, they allude in the interview with this gardening expert to the fact that his own studies show that his soil pH is reading 4.5 when he wants it somewhere in between 6 and 6.5. It's extremely acidic.
And now, there are some chemtrails that, in fact, are just the opposite of that.
Well, yeah, I understand. I just want to make this point, okay? Mm-hmm. And he measures 61,000 times the amount of aluminum that's considered to be safe. He says when it's around 1,000, you know, it warrants investigation. And he said that's part of what I did for a living. So I'm speaking from my experience and my authority. Now, this obsession with aluminum and barium, it's disingenuous. We know they had anthrax, tuberculosis, valium, and some other drugs that were in there, and various types of fungi. And you and I talked about that in some past shows a year ago.
Right, mutated fungi.
These congressmen and senators are telling us they haven't heard about this. My goodness, we had a space war above Ohio and Ontario, Canada on August 25th, 2009. I and probably another million other people saw what was being done. The whole state was chemtrailed in about 15 mm-hmm. minutes. Jets were coming out of Lake Erie,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there were some events that I reported on this show that occurred in conjunction with that.
I recall.
How can you not know this? How are these people that dumbed down in Congress and the Senate that they don't know this, that they can't see all this?
No, I would propose they're just lying.
Okay,
they're just lying because this is all one huge game, which I wrote about in The Methodic Demise. That's exactly what I call it, a big game. It is a very big game.
That they're saying they don't know anything about it shows that they've been told not to talk about it, you see, because it's not what it's being presented to us as.
That's right.
Are they changing the climate? Absolutely. Is that the only reason? You tell me, how are human red blood cells and human white blood cells and three forms of bacteria supposed to alleviate the Earth from global warming? Please explain that to me. You're a polymer chemist. Is there any?
No, there's absolutely no connection, Don, to something biological and something with the magnitude of, in fact, manipulating the weather to, in fact, create drought. Extended periods of drought, and then just overnight take and put the chemtrails out there with something else before everybody gets up, and they'll rip it open and they'll flood every seed that the farmer just got done planting, that in fact after they got droughted out and in fact nothing grows, well, the farmer goes go ahead and plant. They've done this in 1991, 1992, all through Texas and Oklahoma, all through up the bread belt. They just kept doing that all the way up through Indiana. I witnessed it. So when it comes to, and that was called the food weapon. The only thing that those properties, which in fact were sold at distressed property sales for pennies on the dollar, they were all bought up by these big, huge international food conglomerates. The only thing that they plant and raise are genetically mutated foods and control animal feedlots. And the only thing they feed them is GMO. So what I'm saying, this is all part of what has been paid for, but it's not just in the economy of the United States, and it's global. It's absolutely global. So who are the players here? Well, I sent you a list of the ones, and in fact, that got monies from Monsanto just recently. Did you find anybody on there that wasn't on that list? And they say they don't know about chemtrails. They don't know about geoengineering. And besides that, this is not just geoengineering, Michael. This has got something to do with the eradication of so many species upon this earth you've got no clue what that means. But that's exactly what it's designed to do, because there's things that, in fact, will permanently change and damage your DNA, my DNA, that fox, that wolf, that bird. It's going to mutate many, many, many things. We don't understand how that's possible. But it's just that these people stand by. I've even written emails to Dr. Ron Paul and asked him, please, I've got to have information from you on the chemtrails. Please respond. I've done that 4 different times. Not one peep do I get back from Dr. Ron Paul. Same thing. Okay, I mean, I'll get off of that. But I don't care who it is that you, in fact, query about this particular topic. No matter who you ask, they will not respond. And if they respond by saying, well, I don't know what that is, but I'm against it. Oh, hey, listen, I got something to talk to you about. No, you're not going to put me into your Mr. Lavelle. I don't care about Mr. Lavelle. We didn't elect Mr. Lavelle. And there's one of the other problems is all these aides that work for the Congress and the Senate. These aides, in fact, are the hugest part of the problem of being able to communicate with our, and again, I'll have to use these words, elected officials.
Actually, in the movie The Godfather 2, when they're testifying before Congress, one of the hitmen for the Corleone family says that he never talked directly with Michael Corleone. He did admit that he was a hitman. And he said he never got a direct order from him. And he said he got the order through a buffer. He said a buffer, which is a buffer, right? And he said a buffer is a person in between you and Mr. Corleone. And he says it's just a buffer. And he goes, the family's got lots of buffers.
Okay. Oh, well. And so
that's
what you're
describing.
Yeah, that's a buffa. Yeah. Kind of a play on words there. But, I've heard some people in the Tea Party, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're part of that Tea Party, you've done something, I would say, relatively great in the way you've kind of shifted things around and made yourself known, but you're being torn to bits by these Republicans in many ways. But let me put it like this. But you still need to, in fact, get rid of those monkeys that, in fact, are called aides to the Congress, legal liaisons, legislative assistants, and whatever they, in fact, may have as capacity, because they will not let you speak directly to the congressman or, in fact, get a letter into the congressman that he will respond to you. They will respond to you. Just try calling them sometime. Just insist on talking to the congressman. No matter how busy they are, no matter what time of day it is, no matter where they're supposed to be, they will not allow you to talk to your elected official. We've got to stop this and take this hierarchy down of nothing more than they're just pointy heads. I wrote about them in my last paper, reversing paper. I, in fact, believe that they, in fact, are a different species. They're a subset human that, in fact, is kind of hybridized with a Zeta Reticula somehow, the Star Children, or offspring of Star Children. But we've got to, in fact, do something to frame this thing, because if we're going to depend on these people, which you said you're going to give the inertia to your Congress to straighten this out, oh, man, are you ever – you've only got part of the cancer. The other part of the cancer is in these aides and a guy like the name of Dominguez. I know he's right here in town now. He got out of Washington after his little tryst with me. But he worked for T-Berry. Yeah. He's the one that, in fact, said he would help, in fact, promote the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act of 2008, which I wrote in 2003. But he said, oh, yeah, well, this is really bad. We got to change this. Yeah. What did he do? He turned around and called the Pentagon, and the U.S. Air Force came in and took over. Man, they wrote letters. They just put the fire out completely. And of course, Dominguez, in fact, just got away with the whole thing. And I've called for his arrest one of these days. I want that man to be held accountable for dereliction of duty. There's another couple words that you can put in there. But this is criminal, ladies and gentlemen. Spraying in this, anything into our atmosphere is absolutely criminal. And Don, I told you earlier today on the phone, I want there to be a complete abolishment of the state and the regional and the federal Environmental Protection Agency in light of what happened in the Gulf of Mexico, but in light of, in fact, what has happened now for the past 10 years with the chemtrails. And I don't care who it is, you, in fact, cannot find anybody within the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency that will give you a straight answer about what these violations are of maximum contaminant levels in the air or anything else. The state of Ohio and Mr. Kasich, Governor Kasich, if you're listening, Governor-elect Kasich, if you're listening, you want to eliminate about $300 million out of your budget for this year? Get rid of this Ohio EPA. They are a bunch of paper pushers, and they, in fact, enforce and protect nothing. They only collect fines and fees and drive small businesses. Small businesses don't have any place to go, Don. They try to go over to Indiana. The Indiana Department of Environmental Management is even more corrupt than the ones in Ohio. I've worked with these people now for 25 years. And I call for the abolishment of the EPA or DNR, and the Department of Natural Resources is the second subset of people that, in fact, are do-nothing, and they live off of telling people what they can and cannot do with their own property. They collect fees. They collect fines. They sell you tags to shoot deers and go fishing and so, but they, in fact, protect nothing. They don't manage nor protect anything. They push papers and computers. That's all they do. I want there to be a complete abolishment of what's known as the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Natural Resources in this United States, and I would suggest we start with Ohio, because I've been at this battle for a long time. I can tell you there's some real stinking thinkers in that group, a whole bunch of them. They, in fact, endorse by contractually taking in all these people that are doing these things, and they don't just look the other way. Hell, they end up working for them, Don.
Yes. Well,
that's against the law, but it's not to them.
Yeah. My intention is not to slam this movie, but to merely to point out that if you're watching this movie, it's only addressing the issue of geoengineering without really defining it other than what? Changing the weather or possibly doing something adverse. And they're all those that are talking about it. You heard the statements that, well, we